Good afternoon. This is Francis, your volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona, bringing you our Listener Beware program. For the next half hour, you'll hear about scams, schemes, fraud, and ways to protect yourself and your money. This first article is from the AARP Bulletin, October 2023 issue in the Fraud Watch section. Can a crook steal your entire home? Yes, via a rising fraud involving bogus deeds by Joe Eaton. Stealing a wallet, a cell phone, a car, these are threats we all understand. A thief grabs and flees. But in a rising form of fraud known as deed theft, criminals have found a way to steal no less than your home and your land. Though it is still a relatively uncommon scam, deed theft cases are popping up across the country. There are two typical variations. In the first type, thieves forge a deed that transfers ownership of a property to them. They file the deed with a county clerk who records the sale. Then the property is quickly sold to an unsuspecting purchaser. In the second type, crooks trick a homeowner into signing a deed to transfer ownership, often by promising help refinancing a mortgage or paying overdue property taxes. Shirley Gibson, 88, is among those who have been targeted. She owns an empty plot of land in a historically African American section of Miami. In 2021, Gibson went to pay her taxes and learned they had already been paid by a stranger. Property records showed she had sold the land for $230,000. Scammers had forged her signature, created a fake deed, and taken her land. Gibson immediately hired an attorney and filed a complaint with law enforcement. I guess they thought because I'm old and an African American, they would be able to pull that off, Gibson says. They were wrong. Two men and a woman were arrested and face criminal charges related to the scam. Still, Gibson had to go through a complicated civil court process to get her property back. And anxiety lingers. You have to be very vigilant, she says. They might try it again. Other recent deed fraud cases include in Washington, D.C., Robert McLeod used fake driver's licenses to pose as two older homeowners who had paid off mortgages. In both cases, McLeod assumed the owner's identities and transferred the deeds of their homes so he could sell them. His scam netted more than $580,000 before he was caught and sent to prison for 18 months. In another Miami case, prosecutors say Tom Roy Jenkins used a fake driver's license and drew up fake documents to pose as the son of a woman in a nursing home, illegally transferring her house to him, then trying to sell it. Jenkins has pleaded not guilty to felony charges. In New York City alone, there have been more than 3,400 recorded complaints of deed theft since 2014, according to the state's attorney general. Other people are often at risk to be targeted, says Jay Inwald, director of economic justice litigation at Legal Services New York City, which helps deed scam victims. That's because they more often own their homes outright. Those who buy a property from a deed theft scammer often become victims as well. Greg Bugage bought a parcel of land in Fairfield, Connecticut from a man who claimed to be the owner. Bugage and his partners started work on a 4,000-square-foot home they planned to sell, but it turned out the real property owner was a Long Island doctor who only found out about the fraud when told someone was building a house on his land. The case is tied up in court. Bugage said through his lawyer that he may never fully recoup the hundreds of thousands of dollars he paid out of pocket on the project. Maureen Kokias in the New York City Sheriff's Office says many can't afford a civil lawsuit, which is often needed to regain the property ownership. Unfortunately, getting your property back often comes down to dollars and cents, Kokias says. And this is from the AARP Bulletin, December 2023. When fraud hits again and again, rebound scams target recent crime subjects by Sari Harar. famous for her sparkly gowns and sharp tongue, Jen Shah, a star on the Bravo reality TV show, The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, had a hidden side hustle. She ripped off thousands of people, many of them older, reportedly for up to $100,000 each in a telemarketing scam. She then raked in extra cash selling lists of her victims to other scammers. She was sentenced this year to 6.5 years in prison and ordered to pay $6.6 million in restitution. Neither of the crime tactics Shah used is unusual. Rebound scams that specifically target people recently cheated, often older, lower income, and not always aware they were ripped off the first time, are a common danger, fraud analysts warn. The scammer's top tool? Lead lists of victims that are carefully updated, reused, and sometimes sold. Crime syndicates use customer relationship management systems just like a legitimate business does, says elder fraud researcher Marty Deliema, an assistant professor at the University of Minnesota, who's studying four large victim list databases seized from psychic, sweepstakes, and lottery scams by the U.S. Postal Inspection Service. Like any business, they keep track. How they do that can vary. A lead list could be a big database or a sheet of scratch paper, says Amy Knopfzeiger, director of victim support for AARP's Fraud Watch Network. Typically, they contain victims' phone numbers, addresses, bank account information, and personal facts a scammer can use to build a relationship, like that Mr. X lived alone or has a white dog. These lists are very valuable. Scammers have gotten killed over them. The lead list Deliema is analyzing contain names and addresses of 1.3 million U.S. residents who together lost $347 million to mail scams over 20 years. Her research team has discovered that 62% of those on the lists were scammed more than once, and some were scammed more than 20 times. For those folks, the average number of times scammed was 59, Deliema says. Most of the money they lost to the scammers was in small increments of $20 to $40. But if you're scammed 50 times, that could be $1,600, she says. Odds of being hit in a rebound scam were highest for those 60 and older. Rebound scam targets had a slightly lower income and reported higher losses than those scammed just once, a new study of 664 fraud reports from the National Crime Victimization Survey shows. It could be that these individuals feel more financial strain from the first victimization and are more likely to attempt to recoup the money through risky avenues, says lead study author Jamie A. Snyder, an associate professor at the University of Wyoming. Once you're on a lead list, you can't really do anything to get your name taken off, Deliema says. But taking these steps can help you avoid becoming a repeat scam victim. First, tell a loved one. After an 86-year-old Brooklyn man lost $9,500 in a notorious grandparent scam last year, scammers asked for bail money, claiming his grandson caused a car accident. He said no when the new scammers called the next day, promising to get his money back for a fee. The man had talked with his family after the first scam and realized he had been cheated. Turns out, this is a powerful way to protect yourself, Snyder says. People who'd let family members know they had been scammed were 50% less likely to report repeat scams in Snyder's study. Sharing the news may help your relatives recognize signs of a scam and take steps to protect you, she says. Second, don't respond to phone calls or text messages from unknown numbers. If you can get a call or text out of the blue trying to sell you something, ignore it and delete it, says Will Maxson, assistant director of the Federal Trade Commission's Division of Marketing Practices. Inundated with calls and texts, Maxon says this happens to many who were scammed. He suggests blocking calls. As a last resort, consider changing your phone number. Third, take scam prevention seriously. Some repeat victims may not have realized they were scammed the first time, Snyder says, so know the signs. Don't respond to unsolicited email offers, suggests Melanie McGovern, a spokesperson for the International Association of Better Business Bureaus. Don't give your credit card, bank account, or social security numbers out over the phone. Legitimate businesses or government offices never ask for such info by phone. Say no to anyone who wants to do any transaction via a gift card, cryptocurrency, or by sending money through a financial transfer app to someone you don't know. And fourth, be alert to recovery scams. If someone calls you promising they can track down and recover money you lost recently in a scam, hang up. These calls often come from people impersonating consumer advocates or law enforcement. Typically, they will ask for a payment up front, then disappear, Knopfzeiger says. And now for a public service announcement from the FBI. Scammers solicit fake humanitarian donations. The FBI is warning the public that scammers are committing charity fraud by soliciting fake humanitarian donations during the Israel-Hamas conflict. Scammers quickly pivot to charity fraud when catastrophic events occur, such as a war, a natural disaster, or an epidemic. As of October 12, 2023, an alleged fake charity scheme circulating on social media and via encrypted messaging platforms directed recipients to a website that may contain malware and claims to solicit cryptocurrency for humanitarian purposes. As of the date of this announcement, the FBI has received complaints of legitimate email addresses of individuals in Israel being hacked or possibly spoofed to solicit donations. Additionally, the foreign terrorist organizations, FTOs, and their supporters establish fake charities to engage in fraudulent fundraising, often via social media platforms, to target unwitting individuals into providing funds to subsidize FTO operations. FTOs and their supporters have published the same monetary or cryptocurrency payment mechanisms for purportedly charitable purposes on one platform and to solicit funds to support terrorism on others. Tips to protect yourself. Verify the legitimacy of the charity or individual soliciting funds. Research charities online to see if there are news, reviews, or posts linking the charity to fraud, and use proven contact methods to verify the identity of individuals requesting donations via email or social media platforms. Verify the legitimacy of crowdfunding websites seeking donations. Use strong and unique passwords to protect platforms. Look for secure site indicators such as URLs beginning with HTTPS or a lock symbol. URLs beginning with an HTTP or lacking a lock symbol at the beginning could indicate an unsecure site. Do not click on links from unknown sources. Do not share personal or financial information, and do not send payments to any unknown individuals or groups soliciting funds for humanitarian aid. And then report it. The FBI requests victims report these fraudulent or suspicious activities to the FBI IC3 at www.ic3.gov. And another article from the Arizona Attorney General, charity scams. Charities use a wide variety of methods to solicit charity donations. Many legitimate charities are able to use email, social media, and internet fundraising pages to lower costs and access donors. However, these technologies also make it easier for fraudsters to pose as legitimate charities and exploit the generosity of donors. to make sure you are donating to a legitimate charity, first, never give on impulse. Never give in to high-pressure requests for contributions or donations. Legitimate charities will not pressure you for an immediate donation and are happy to provide information about their charity for you to review and share with neighbors, friends, and family. Second, do your research. Always obtain written information, including annual reports, about the charity before you donate. Always make sure you know how your donation is distributed. Always know how much of your donation will actually go to the charity itself versus administrative costs. Third, know who is asking. Always ask the fundraiser if they are a volunteer or a paid fundraiser. Always ask for information in writing of how much the fundraiser will keep of the donations collected and how much will actually go to the charity. Be wary of words like majority, large, most of, large percent, administrative costs, processing fees, handling, etc. Fourth, avoid paying cash. Pay charities by credit card payment or by check that is payable to the fund, not to an individual, and donate directly to the organization, either in person at an event sponsored by the charity or through the United States Postal Service. Never give a donation to a charity that A, offers to take your donation directly from your account, such as an automatic debit, B, encourages you to send a donation by courier overnight express, or C, asks you to wire your donation. 5. Avoid copycats. Watch out for charities with names that sound similar to well-known organizations or charities. Sometimes these sound-alike names are simply intended to confuse donors. Also, be cautious of look-alike websites. These fraudulent websites will often ask for personal financial information or may download harmful malware into your computer. 6. Check with the charity. If you receive an email or text message asking for a donation, confirm that the request is from the charity and not an imposter by contacting the charity or visiting its website. Likewise, don't assume that charity recommendations on Facebook, blogs, or other social media have already been vetted. Research the charity yourself. 7. Keep personal information private. Never give out personal information such as your birth date, social security number, credit card number, checking account number, or any financial information to a solicitor, either by telephone, mail, or door-to-door. And 8. Know the difference between tax-deductible and tax-exempt. Tax-deductible means you can deduct your donation on your federal income tax return. Tax-exempt means the charity does not have to pay taxes. Even if a charity is tax-exempt, your donation may not be tax-deductible. If you would like a tax deduction, ask the charity for a receipt showing the amount of the contribution and stating that your donation is tax-deductible. For more tax information regarding charitable contributions, visit irs.gov/charities-and-non-profits/contributors. Use the following links to learn more about charities and fundraising or to research charity online. Federal Trade Commission at www.ftc.gov/charity-fraud or the Better Business Bureau at www.bbb.org/us/az/phoenix. And here's a local online article by Tucson Electric Power, TEP. Protect yourself from scams. Scammers who want to steal your money can strike at any time. Year-round, TEP customers report suspicious phone calls, text messages, letters, and even visits from scammers who impersonate TEP employees while using high-pressure tactics. TEP never uses high-pressure tactics to collect payment. Here are several steps you can take to avoid being duped by scammers. First, hang up. If you suspect you are the target of a phone scam, just hang up. Don't feel pressured to provide personal information or take any action. Similarly, you can delete suspicious emails or shut the door on suspicious visitors. If you're concerned for your physical safety, call 911. TEP only contacts customers by phone with automated bill payment reminders as a courtesy and never demands immediate payment. Next, don't follow scammers' instructions to buy prepaid cards. TEP never urges customers to purchase prepaid money cards to pay a monthly bill. Scammers will ask for the prepaid card's receipt number and PIN number, which grants instant access to the card's funds. TEP does not accept any cryptocurrency as payments, including Bitcoin. A complete list of legitimate payment methods, including payment online and through TEP's mobile app, is available on their website. Contact TEP. If you have questions about your bill or concern about these issues, please call TEP's customer care team at 520-623-7711. Don't call the number listed on your monthly bill and on TEP.com. Don't call other phone numbers provided by scammers. Customers also can log in or use TEP's mobile app to check account status. Many customers have reported being contacted by someone pretending to work for TEP who threatened to disconnect their service due to unpaid bills or damaged electric meters. Customers were urged to make payment over the phone with a prepaid money card within a short amount of time, usually an hour or less, to avoid shutoff. These scammers may use an angry or urgent tone of voice to pressure you into making a payment. Scammers also might entice their intended victims by offering a month of free electric service or bill discounts. In some cases, they instruct customers to bring a money order or cashier's check to a local pharmacy or to pay in Bitcoin. Some scammers will contact customers via text message, registered letter, or in person. They sometimes use software that disguises phone calls or text messages to make them appear as if they're coming from TEP. Such scams have become commonplace despite customer outreach and active prevention efforts by law enforcement, government agencies, and companies such as TEP, whose customers are being targeted. Scammers have targeted utility customers across North America, prompting TEP and other utilities to participate in a consumer awareness campaign titled Utilities United Against Scams. Customers who receive phone calls or text messages like these are also encouraged to contact the Arizona Attorney General's Tucson office at 520-628-6504 or to file a consumer complaint at azag.gov. The Attorney General's office seeks to protect the public and can take legal action in situations that involve violations of state and federal consumer protection laws. And another article about charity, dating back to June 22, 2023, Tucson Charity gives tips on how to donate money worldwide by Jack Cooper. There are new concerns after an organization which helps donors send money to people in need had almost $1 million stolen. Investigators say employees at GiveDirectly worked to defraud the company of $900,000. That money was meant to help people in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Now, almost 2,000 families aren't getting that much needed help. But now, We Care in Tucson, formerly called WorldCare, says that while you can never be 100% sure, there are steps you can take to help make sure your donation will go to people in need. First, make sure the donation is encrypted. You use a CAPTCHA and use a service like PayPal or a credit card where you can get the money back if something goes wrong. Now, the good news is this isn't something which happens a lot, but leaders say once donations go out of the country, it starts to get complicated since nonprofits can struggle to track them. Anybody who wants to donate, do your due diligence about the charity itself. Executive Director of We Care Meme Aguilar says, making sure they're a nonprofit, that you're on their website, that you're giving directly to them, that kind of thing. Give Directly says the fraud case happened because they made an exception in how they gave money to families in the DRC to try and make it easier for them. When they did that, some workers took advantage for months. Give Directly says this has been fixed and they're still checking all other accounts. Leaders with the Better Business Bureau also have some tips, including looking for the BBB seal on a nonprofit's website. If something like this happens, fill out a complaint form and try to get your money back. And that wraps up our Listener Beware program for today. I hope you found this helpful. This is Frances at Sun Sounds. Have a great rest of your day.